Morning again. How are you all doing today? We got one good. The rest of you are not doing so hot then. One person's good. You got a tall order in front of me at that point then. Good morning. My name is Eric Szymanski. I am here preaching this morning again. Second time you guys have invited me back, and I appreciate that. My family thanks you for that. You might notice I'm lacking some of my family right now. My wife and my daughter are actually in Haiti right now with Evelyn, and they are bringing her home on Tuesday. So they left on Friday. Thank you. They left on Friday for Haiti. I brought the four boys with me here to Michigan for the weekend and left them with my parents and my sister. Just kidding. No, they haven't been with them the whole weekend, but they've been out. My parents, my sister's back. My Uncle Tim is here. So if you have any questions or stories that you want to hear about, I'm sure they will fill you in with all sorts of fun things that I will never, ever tell you. And that might even come into play later on this morning. So pay attention, if you will. So our family is expanding. We will have six kids home on Tuesday. Pray for us. It's going to be quite the transition for us already, and then with all of this going on as well. So I just would greatly appreciate your prayers for our family during that time. Would you please pray with me right now? Lord, we thank you for your son. We thank you for this church body. Thank you for those that are here. And pray, God, that your word would just be spoken this morning, that you would be honored by all that is said and all that is done. May you change our hearts for you. In your name we pray. Amen. Who remembers elementary school recess? Okay, a few more people are responding to that one. Good. I remember specifically when we would go out for recess, because that was my favorite part of the school day, and we would run out to the field, and of course, the guys, we would split up into two groups, but not initially, because you would have to first nominate a captain, and then a second captain, and that took forever to happen. So by the time you pick the captains, and then the rest of the guys would all stand up in a line, and you're all sitting there looking at each other going, who's going to get picked first? You're not getting picked first. I'm getting picked first. And then it was so nerve-wracking because you would just sit there, and you would wait patiently as they picked everyone but you. And you were just sitting there waiting, when am I going to get chosen? When am I going to get put on a team? That would be wonderful. Now, of course, I never experienced getting picked last. I was always picked first, of course. That was always the way that that went. I mean, how else could it be, right? Except for that one time, but we won't talk about that. But being chosen first was always such a fun thing because you got to go stand there and watch everyone else just go, and just wring their hands and wait patiently for their time to be chosen. And sometimes it depended on the sport. Some of us were better at soccer than others. Some of us were better at football than others. Some of us were really good at baseball than others. Me, I was really good at baseball. Basketball, not so much. But it just kind of depended on that. But to be chosen first was a huge honor. It was a great thing. In fact, it really was fun. And sometimes you would even package yourself in a deal with somebody to like become like a really good super team. That's how we used to roll. And so you would pick packages of two, sometimes three players to get going. And, you know, as I was thinking about this, it became more important over the years to be picked first on a team than the game itself. Like, there was a mini game of getting picked to be on the team. Like, we would be sitting there, 9 o'clock rolls around, school starting, and we're like, hey, what are we playing today? Yeah, you can pick me first for that if you're the captain, and I'll pick you if I'm the captain. Like, that was our entire day at school. We weren't paying attention whatsoever to class because we were worried about if we were going to be picked for a team or not, if we were going to be chosen. And sometimes, depending on what we played, there were too many guys for there to be on a team. So some people didn't even get to play in the game. But yes, getting picked, getting chosen, became more important than the game itself. Because again, nothing was more awesome than being chosen first. And we all want to be chosen. We all want that special feeling. And luckily, what we can think about this morning is no matter what we've experienced as a child, being picked first or last for whatever it is that your experience was, or being neglected or being held up as some sort of special person above other people. Right now, though, right now in our lives, we can sit back and we can look at it and we can say, we are chosen right now. Chosen specifically. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says this, God the Father chose you long ago. He chose you long ago. And the Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed Christ Jesus and are cleansed by His blood. We are already chosen. We don't have to worry about that weight of not being chosen anymore. We are chosen by God, specifically, right now, this day, where you sit. You are chosen by God. Now, we're not going to spend any time in 1 Peter this morning other than that. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 3. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and go to Colossians chapter 3, and we'll be in verses 12 through 17. And as you're doing that, I want to focus a little bit on the background of these verses, the preceding 11 verses a little bit, to give you a thought. Paul, in the beginning of Colossians chapter 3, he just finished telling us that none of us are special. No matter how good we think we are, we're not special. And again, I go back to that recess analogy of trying to build yourself up so that you can be picked before not being picked at all. But Paul says, hey, you're not really all that special to begin with here. Don't worry, it gets better than this. We are all sinners, though. But we are blessed because Jesus is our everything. He has chosen us, and He has given us a new way. And that's what Paul is talking about in these first 11 verses. We are chosen not because we are special. No, you're not chosen for any specialness you have or lack of specialness you might feel that you have, but rather because Jesus loves us. That's it. That's a simple truth. We are chosen for that simple fact. We are all enemies of God, yet He still loves us. We all struggle with sin daily, yet He still loves us. In fact, again, these first 11 verses of chapter 3, they're talking specifically about putting away our sinful desires, our sinful passions. We are to have nothing to do with them. Rather, we are to embrace a new life through Jesus Christ, because He is now in us and part of us. Our past does not matter, whether we're good at something or not. Our background does not matter, what choices we have made. Our status does not matter, how you view yourself compared to other people. None of that matters. You are still chosen and loved. Remember, we are all sinners despite the good things that we think we do. We are all sinners, and there's nothing we can do to earn any sort of favor. And that's the really awesome part of grace and the awesome part of God's love, is that we don't have to do anything. We're free from the constraints of trying to put ourselves up and lift ourselves up to make ourselves look good in the eyes of Jesus. That doesn't matter, because we're still chosen because of His love for us. We are chosen to enter into the family of God beyond anything else. He first created us to be something special. Sin broke that, but Jesus made a way to recreate, if you will, to bring about a newness in us, to where we can embrace this chosenness that we have, this unitedness with Christ, this being clothed in His righteousness. And that is what those first 11 verses are about, is separating ourselves from those things and entering into something new. And it's because of the fact that we can't do anything for God, that we're already chosen despite ourselves, it's because of that that we can now look at what we can become and who we can be. In other words, what we can actually, as Paul words it, clothe ourselves in these things we can put on daily to represent Christ. Colossians 3, 12 through 14 says this. Follow along with me. Therefore, as God's chosen people, again, there it is, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Verse 13, bear with each other and forgive each other. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect harmony. So, based off of those verses, we have to now choose the character of Christ. Because apart from Him, we cannot choose that character. We're chosen, and now we have to make a choice. We have to choose to put on the character of Christ. Or as Paul says, clothe ourselves in these things. In these three verses, Paul reminded the people that they are chosen. That you're special people. Despite the unspecialness that we have with our sin, we are still chosen and loved dearly. But more than that, Paul is pointing out that the people need to have an appreciation for the fact that they are chosen. It's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, if you ever just go at people and continue to call them a loser and put them down, they will eventually believe that fact because it will become real to them. But if we embrace this idea that we're chosen, that we are something special now, that Jesus has a plan for us, we start to embrace that, then we start to live that out. And we don't believe the lies of what sin tells us. We have to believe that we are chosen so that we can then step into that and live in that chosenness that we have. Paul is confirming here the character of being specifically and specially selected and chosen by God. These statements are characteristics of Christ. Really, they're characteristics of a centered life around Christ. These features, again, in these verses, we'll read them here again. It's to clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, being patient, forgiving each other, and love. These things, they deal with our interpersonal relationships with one another. Now, here's a point where I could say, turn to the person next to you and just tell them all the things that you are frustrated about with them, but we won't do that this morning, especially husbands and wives. I already have seen lots of you looking at each other and you got your list out. Don't do that right now. But as a body, as a family of believers, these are things that we must work with together because you're close to one another. You have to concentrate on these things and then act them out. You can't just be like, yes, we must clothe ourselves in the righteousness of Christ and then go and live in a completely different way. That doesn't work. We have to concentrate on these things. We have to act them out because it reduces friction with one another, with each other. And not only that, but it also reduces friction with our relationship with God. We may not always get along in perfect harmony. That's an unrealistic adventure. You're going to have disagreements, but it's how you treat each other in those disagreements that are important. It's to reduce friction to seek peace. Dr. Tom Constable, he talks about these features this way, these things. First, compassion. It is showing a sensitivity to those that are suffering in need. Kindness. It is really just the disposition we have towards people. When someone says hi to you in the morning, are you like what I used to be like in high school? Why are you even speaking to me? Or are you like, hey, how are you doing? It's nice to see you this morning. A kind disposition. I was a jerk in high school, if you haven't picked up on that yet, especially in the morning. Humility, having a realistic view of yourself. That's a tough one, having a realistic view of yourself. Gentleness. Again, that's just the way we actually treat people, not harsh, but with these things, kindness and gentleness. Patience. Quality of being long-suffering. I hate that description. I don't like suffering in general, but now I have to suffer longly for people? No, thank you. But that's what we are called to do. We have to put that on. It's not easy to put these clothes on, these clothes of righteousness of Christ, but that doesn't mean we can't do it. And then these following two qualities, as if patience and long-suffering weren't enough, the following two things tie into that. Perhaps it's speaking to me this morning. Bearing with one another means putting up with others and enduring discomfort. Anybody like discomfort out there? Didn't think so. But we must bear with one another while suffering longly because of them. I might be misreading that, but forgiving, though, involves not holding a grudge. Not holding a grudge on somebody, but they hurt my feelings. They hurt me this way. They have been mean to me this way. Not holding a grudge. And trying to reduce that friction for the sake of peace. And then love is the thing that binds them all together. At the end of it is love. And here's the thing. It's not a cutesy love. It's a unconditional love. It's a self-sacrificing love. That's what all of these things are really pointing to anyway. Because none of this is about us. If Paul is saying, do the things that you're good at doing, okay, that's one thing. Most of us are going to struggle with at least one of these things. Most of us are going to struggle in general with how to just interact with one another when they hurt us. but it's seeking that peace. It's seeking that self-sacrificing love that will bind us all together. And again, not even for our own sake, but for the sake of the church body, of this particular family, if you will. Because really, the church has to be more than just a simple gathering of people. It has to be a united body towards a united goal, which is ultimately glorifying Christ. So, Romans 13:8 says this about love. Let no debt remain except the debt to love. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. So if you still got love to give, you better start doing it. Look for opportunities even to just release yourself from the debt to love. Seek it out. And I would suggest starting with those that have probably hurt you the most. What then shall this lead us to as we love each other? So if let's pretend for a moment we've got this loving each other down. We've got this long-suffering patience and these qualities that Paul talks about in these three verses. Let's pretend we've got that down to, we're good at that. We've got all got a long way to go, but let's pretend we're good at that. What does Paul get to after that? Verses 15 and 16. He says this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, one family, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Verse 16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. So not only are we chosen, not only do we have to choose the character of Christ, but now we have to choose the peace of Christ. Because really, even in all these actions, we still might not be at peace with who we are or even with God or definitely with that other person or other people. We go from our responsibilities with how we interact to really some imperatives, some commands, if you will, to start to follow if we are not already doing these things. But we must let the peace of Christ rule. Peace from Christ should rule our hearts in what we do, what we say, and in what we choose. We have to start choosing the things that are bringing glory and peace to the body. And really, seeking to bring peace with our own relationship with God the Father. Peace is anything that brings unity. Think about that. Anything that brings unity. What are things that you can do to bring that peace, to bring that unity within the body? With thankfulness. Because I love how Paul just tacks that on there. Do these things and be thankful about it. But it might be hard. You can still be thankful about it. So, what possibly could this church be going through right now where there might be some discussion about things that are going on? Well, to be blunt, you're looking for a new pastor. I'm one of those guys. You might not like me. You may not like the other guys. That really doesn't matter. What matters is what are you doing as a body that is united in peace to give God glory? You're going to eventually pick one of us. Great. You can pick me. But ultimately, whatever choice is made, you've got to go united on one front together as a family and as a body. No matter what person it is. Again, the person really doesn't matter as much as what direction this church is headed in. Because if it's not peaceful, if it's not united, it's going to be difficult. So now that awkwardness is a little out of the way for me. Let's move on. Verse 16 invites us and pushes us to let the word of Christ dwell within us richly. So it's not a, hey, if you feel like spending time in the word, go for it. No, let it dwell in you richly. That means you have to pursue it as if it is worth pursuing, because it is. These words of Christ are more than even just what we think about who he is. It's his teachings, and it's really the entire unity of Scripture. It's not just the Gospels, it's everything, because he had a hand in writing all of it. His word must penetrate us so deeply that it starts to literally ooze out of our actions, to where people see us and they're like, you are weird and you are different, and I want to know why. Something is different about who you are. Really, it shouldn't even be an effort on our part to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. It should just be part of who we are daily as part of his body. And so we can do this in many ways. Specifically, verse 16 says, excuse me, to teach and admonish one another. To teach and admonish one another. Teaching is to impart truth. That means seeking Scripture, seeking fellowship with others, discussing Scripture, seeking the truth of what Scripture is. And admonish just simply means to counsel one another when we need that counseling, when we need that support. In doing so, we can then, united, sing songs of praise to God the Father. We can step fully into that power. But really, we can't even fully accomplish this ourselves. There's no way we can do this. John 14:27 gives us a little bit of insight into this power. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." It's not our peace that we have to rely on. This is not peace from the world. Worldly peace is kind of false. It's a false sense of security. We rely on things that we think bring us peace. But nothing in this world can come close to giving us this understanding of how to live in peace with Christ. It's by the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit that we can enter into peace. And that goes beyond our understanding. But it's the pursuit of gaining that understanding that we are to be striving for. Again, it's the purpose of unity, the purpose of peace as a body going towards glorifying Him. We have to lay down our pride, which again is a hard thing usually. We have to lay down our selfishness, which again is a hard thing usually for us. But you have a choice. So the last thing is your choice. What is your choice in all of this? Verse 17 says this, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So, that's your choice, is to do something in the name of Jesus while giving thanks. But I'm a big fan of Paul. I like his writings. Whatever you do, what does that mean? What is whatever? It's everything. Whatever you do. You have a choice about how you can bring this peace and this unity about, as long as you're doing these other things that Paul has talked about. Now, see, here's the thing. I already said my parents are here this morning. My sister and I, we grew up, and we learned what was expected of us. Some of us learned that lesson faster than others. I'll give you a hint, it wasn't me. We do not have to have a rule book, though, in our household. I don't remember the rule book of the Szymanski household being anywhere. It wasn't posted that I'm aware of. No, you didn't know either. Okay, good. I'm off the hook. But see, here's the thing. We had a general set of expectations that I remember from the family. One of them was be polite. Again, I failed at that in the morning, but other times I was pretty good at it. But see, the thing is, though, when guests came over, I had to get up out of the comfy chair. Hated getting up out of the comfy chair. But it was for the guest. When they came over, we had to give them the best seat in the house. When grandma came over to stay, I had to go sleep in the basement. Don't worry, there was a couch down there. Grandma got my bed. And she also got the comfy chair. But that's okay, because we loved grandma. But see, we had this understanding of some really basic things about how to treat each other and how to live in our family when people came over. And again, there are probably lots of stories about how maybe we needed a rule book in the household, and it would have been helpful maybe at some points. And again, feel free to ask any questions you want at this point, because they'll tell you anything anyway. But the point of it is this. If we have an understanding of what is expected of us, then there's no excuse to not act that way. So I hate to inform you, now that we've read Colossians 3:12-17, you have no excuse not to act this way. That's the downside to reading scriptures. You have to actually start to live it out now. So whatever is pretty broad at this point for you. There's no 10-step program to following these precepts given here. Whatever you do, in everything you do, in all that you do, and if you're doing things that aren't bringing glory to God, maybe you need to stop doing those things so that whatever lines up with everything now for you. You are left to determine what whatever is for yourself. Now, granted, there's some understanding of where the boundaries lie with this. But whatever you do, whether in word or deed, that pretty much covers everything. Our words and our actions. Do it for the name of Jesus. You can ask yourself this question. What is appropriate for me to do, though? So you can write that down on your bulletin if you want. What is appropriate for me to do to bring peace and unity to this body? Maybe another way is, what is my role here? What do I need to do? What am I gifted with to bring peace and unity here? What can I do to honor Jesus this day, the next day, and so forth? As people who follow Jesus, whatever we do should reflect everything he did. So again, whatever we do, whatever you choose to do, should reflect everything about who his character is. Some might say we need to shine brightly. In fact, the Newsboys, a favorite band from childhood, they said it this way. Make them wonder what you got. Make them wish that they were not on the outside looking bored. Shine, let it shine before all men. Let them see good works, and then let them glorify the Lord. Shine. Reflect in everything you do, whatever you do. Choose to shine. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, that it is your day. We thank you, Lord, for those who have laid themselves down for us as an example of how to love those and be sacrificing to those that are around us. God, I pray that you would be with this church as they take steps. Guide them, Lord. May your Spirit give them encouragement of what to do next. Lord, may each individual choose this day to honor you in everything that they do. Whatever they do in word or deed, may it bring glory to you. I ask for your Spirit to go before us this day. And we give it over to you. It's your name we pray. Amen.